all three of the lessons on a flight home this morning, and they did a really good job. So it's nice to be able to, when you're not able to be here, to have that covered and not have to worry about it. So I wanted to publicly thank them for their efforts, and again express that I'm happy to be back with us. Well, when Tony finished up Sunday, that brought to a close really the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs that we would use as more of a contextual study with the theme of a father instructing to a son things that would be useful to him, particularly things in the ways of wisdom and what that wisdom would do for him. So beginning tonight and for the rest of our study in this quarter will be more of a topical study. There's questions in the back. Tonight we begin a two-lesson series on the blessings of wisdom, instruction, and reproof. Tonight will be wisdom. We'll finish wisdom up, Lord willing, Sunday and cover instruction and reproof. Then there's still copies of that in the back if you need that, labeled lessons 8 and 9. And also right beside that, there's a big stack of the next half dozen lessons or so of our topical study. Questions for you to look over. Primarily, it lists the Proverbs that we're going to talk about, and some associated questions that hopefully get you thinking about what those Proverbs were intended to convey to us. So these are really the beginning of the true Proverbs. And it's kind of natural that our first topic would be that of wisdom. We've spent nine chapters talking about the importance that this father, Solomon, thought to impart to his son, or as we've made the analogy that God, our Father, thought to impart to us. It's really a natural place for us to start. It's not going to be any outline. At the most, we may get, you know, 3, 4, 5 verses that string together that talk about the same thing. Some of them are only going to be a half a verse that gives some instruction on wisdom. I like to think of it like this, because we'll be jumping around, and it's like pieces of a puzzle, and you have this picture that you want to see, and so you're taking a verse here. And this is really, Proverbs is the only book I know that we could really do with that. You're taking a piece here and a piece there, and you're fitting them together. And each time you look at what the writer has to say about, in our case tonight, wisdom, it's like you're looking at that from a little bit of a different angle, a little bit of a different perspective, and it gives you a different twist on it. And by the time you're done, you have a pretty good idea of what he wants you to know. So logistically, as we try to cover that, and really going forward, the PowerPoints will primarily be just the Proverbs that we're going to cover. Otherwise, we would have 25, 30 Proverbs a night that we would be trying to flip to in the span of, you know, a minute or two or something like that. So I'll try and have all of the Proverbs up here for us to see. Hopefully that will keep us together, and they'll be grouped topically or within subtopics of our primary topic. Another thing to note about these Proverbs as we go, the Proverbs that you see tonight, we may see those in a different class on a different subject. That's the nature of it. We could talk about laziness strictly from the standpoint of don't be lazy, or tonight but in a couple nights we'll talk about laziness and how it applies to poverty. And so there's different aspects of these Proverbs that you'll see them again in different topics as we pick them around. And so all of these topics that we're going to talk about are really going to be subtopics of wisdom that we're going to express tonight. So that said, you've seen this before, you'll see it again. There's something for all of us here in the book of Proverbs. We're all somewhere in here. We're either simple, or we're a young, inexperienced person, or we're somebody that is wise, but we understand that we need to know more. And there's sayings out there of really wise men. We'll talk about that some tonight as we look at some of these Proverbs outside of those first nine chapters that we need wisdom for in order to solve those dark sayings. So there's something here for all of us. Looking quickly at these first nine chapters, just to give us a quick touch up on what wisdom is and how these Proverbs will be used now that we're actually starting these short sayings. A proverb is a ruling saying. So by very definition, it's the overarching authority on that particular subject. That's how it's supposed to be. It's the rule, not the exception, right? It's what generally should happen. We need to remember that this is here to provide us with godly wisdom, but it's meant to be often applied here on earth. It's here to make our lives how God wants us to live, and often it's here to make our lives better on earth, to keep avoiding trouble. And just remember, it's written for application. We need to use these things as we look for them. We need to look for, how does this apply to me today? But this idea of the general rule, sometimes it doesn't stick with us. You know, we don't see it as that, particularly, you know, we look at the idea of the wicked will be punished. And so often we don't see that in life here. Look over at Job chapter 21, if you don't mind. Job chapter 21, beginning in verse 7. Job says this as part of one of his speeches. He says, "Why do the wicked still live, continue on, also become very powerful? Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. The rod of God is not on them. His ox mates without fail. His cow calves and does not abort. They send forth their little ones like the flock, and their children skip about. They sing to the timbrel and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the flute. They spend their days in prosperity, and suddenly they go down to Sheol." And so the idea is they live however they want to live, and everything's just great for them. There doesn't seem to be any consequences. And then at the end, one day, they're gone. They're dead. There's been no reckoning for what's done, and it's gone. And we look at those lifestyles, and we think that's not fair. But we have to remember, we're looking at general rules of how to live our lives, and not the exceptions. And when I think of that passage, and also Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says something very similar. I think of like our movie star culture of today. Those are folks we look at generally are leading very immoral lives, and we look at them and we say, they have it all. And there's no bad circumstances or bad consequences that they live with. Well, a couple points to remember about that is, though they may number in the thousands or tens of thousands, that's still a minority. That's still an exception and not a rule. And often, when we look very closely at their lives, what do we see about them? Yeah, they're not as pleasant as they appear, and there's these secret things that have tormented them, and often bring about death by their own hands. I mean, we can look at that just recently in this year or in previous years of that. So, remember, we're talking about general rules and not the exceptions, and we want to make application to ourselves. Look over in James chapter 1. With this idea of making application. James chapter 1, verse 22, a passage familiar to us. It says, "Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." As we look at these Proverbs and we think, I need to make application to me, that passage should be on our minds. We see the word. We see what God wants us to understand. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to say, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good general rule, something to live by, and not put it into practice? Or are we really trying to avoid the situations that the Proverb writer tells us to avoid? Or are we really trying to embrace the characteristics of wisdom that he tells us to embrace? So we really need to make sure that we're making application to it. You think about just a proverb that we have, not a proverb from the Bible. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, I mean, to a hunter or a fowler or somebody like that, that has obvious meaning. You have something that's going to provide you with meat or whatever it is you're going to do with that bird. You're not going to let that go to pursue those that are in the bush. What does that proverb actually mean for us? I mean, what would be a modern application of that for us? Yeah, be content with what you have, and don't go throwing away with what you have with the promise of something that may or may not be within your reach. So that's the type of applications that we need to be making as we make these proverbs our own. All right, so looking at these first nine chapters, the things, we're not going to look at these passages. They're just up here to keep them fresh on our mind before we actually go into the bulk of the Proverbs and look at what wisdom is there for us. The imperative is get wisdom, get understanding, and when you've done that, get more understanding. That wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need to recognize that God is the source of wisdom. We're not supposed to lean on what we think is best or what we think is right. We need to trust in what God has to say to us. Now we need to understand that wisdom is readily available. Remember that passage there in chapter 1 of Proverbs, that she's pictured there as crying out in the street. She's not hidden. She's not secret. She wants to be found. James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And Luke chapter 8, the last part of that verse there, as he said with so many of his parables, when Jesus finished a parable, what did he say about ears? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the question is for us, are we hearing these things? And as Christians, are we listening to what is said to us? Are we avoiding the dangers that are put in our way by the ruler of this world? Are we avoiding those things? So wisdom is there. It's available to us. We need to take advantage of it. And the things that we talked about in the first 9 chapters that will be there for us if we follow wisdom: pleasantness and peace, safety and prosperity, good standing with God and with man, and deliverance from unwanted people like the evil man, and particularly the seducing woman, as we've talked about in multiple occasions. So I wanted to put those things in your mind before we begin talking about the Proverbs tonight that deal specifically with wisdom. And as I mentioned in the introduction, how it's a piece of a puzzle and it gives you a little different perspective, tonight is a fine example of that. We're going to look at what wisdom does for us, different blessings of wisdom, and we're going to look at it from about 3 different perspectives. We're going to talk about wisdom giving us success. We're going to talk about wisdom providing a perspective for us that otherwise that we wouldn't have. And we're going to talk about wisdom gaining us more wisdom and why it's important and how we go about gaining more wisdom like that. So different facets of wisdom as we look around at those and the things that they'll do for us. All right, so first this idea of the blessings of wisdom come in success, and particularly success in earthly relationships. So look at these first 3 Proverbs that we have here. Chapter 12 and verse 8, it says, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. The king's favor is toward a wise man, a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. The wise in heart will be called prudent, or the New American Standard says he'll be called discerning, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. So looking at those and making some applications about how those will help us in our lives as we go about them, we can see that as we look at men who behave wisely, they show up in the eyes of other men as men of reputation, as men that they can trust, as men that would have honor put upon them. That second one there talks about even the king would be impressed with a wise servant, and he would look towards him for advice. That last proverb, a wellspring of life. How is wisdom a wellspring of life to him who has it? In other words, what does wisdom do for a man that has it and uses it? And does it do that on a one-time basis? I've used this bit of wisdom, that's it, and now I'm done. Yeah, so it's like that natural spring that keeps bubbling out. It's always there for you to use. So if you will embrace wisdom, you can use it over and over and over again, and in doing so, enhance your reputation and enhance your relationship with men, build those trusts that are there. I think about an application here in the church as we look at qualifications for elders. These are men that should have reputations built on wisdom. They should have looked at what the Bible says and demonstrated that, putting it into practice over and over again, so people will look at them and they'll have trust of them and they'll have respect of them and they'll give them honor based on the wisdom that they've used. Application that should be pretty close to home for us as we look just within the church. But the fool, and this is an interesting note, I think Tony brought this up in his class two Sundays ago. He spoke fancy terms of Hebrew poetry how they go together or they go opposite. And he talked about going together. I'll talk about going opposite. A lot of these Proverbs tonight will talk about the benefit for the wise man, and in contrast, how does the fool act? And so the wise man is going to use wisdom. He's going to use it to his advantage. He's going to keep going back to that well, and it's going to make him have good relationships with his fellow man. The fool, on the other hand, he wants nothing to do with correction. He wants nothing to do with what his fellow man can give him to make him better. He's just going to do, and that's it. Just the exact opposite of what the wise man will do. In Proverbs chapter 14 and 24, it says, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." And again, we see in these earthly relationships the idea that, you know, a man who behaves wisely and he builds those relationships and he avoids the pitfalls of life, generally, he's going to be successful in life. And that success will come with a good family, a good network of friends. Oftentimes it can come with physical wealth at all, physical wealth as well. And so when people look at him and they see what he has and they see the general success that he has maintained, they look at him and say, that man is there because he's a wise man. And so wisdom has made him successful in the eyes of his fellow man. On contrast, the foolishness of the fools is folly. Just as you can look at a man and see his success and you can attribute that to his wisdom, you can look at a fool and you can see him for what he is. You can see him as a person that doesn't regard instruction, that doesn't care what God says, that's going to fall into the pitfalls of life because he's done it over and over and over again. And that's how the fool appears. He appears obvious to those that watch for his... Any comments or questions on a lot of these? We've got general topics, and I'll try to ask for comments or questions at the end. If I don't ask on some of these smaller topics, and you have something to say, please speak up. But if I did that, I'd be asking every 2 minutes for comments. Another blessing in the success category of wisdom is we have the advantage over adversaries that would otherwise be stronger than us. In Proverbs 21 and verse 22, it says, "A wise man scales the city of the mighty, and he brings down the trusted stronghold." Do you recall in the days of David, when things were going bad, Absalom had rebelled, that rebellion was put down, Absalom is now going back, and this is 2 Samuel 19 and 20. Is where this story takes place. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. The people of Israel are ready to accept him again. And there's some fighting over who gets to bring David back into town, right? The men of Judah are coming, and they're going to bring him back into town. And then about half the tribe of Israel come, and they're ready to bring him back into town. And they start fighting over who's going to do it. And in the end, it says the men of Judah are tougher talkers than the men of Israel. And so they win, the people of Israel get mad, and one man in particular, Sheba, stands up and he goes, "That's it. We're done." And the rebellion is right on again, right after it's been finished, right? And Joab goes out, takes the men, and he goes out after Sheba, who is now on the run. And there's the story of Amasa getting killed in there. That's not the point of what we're talking about now. But Joab pursues Sheba to the city of Abel. And he's got all the men with him, and it's a big army, and he's set up the siege mound. He has the implements of the siege there, and they're beginning to tear down the walls, right? And then who sticks her head over the top of the wall there? Wise woman there of Abel. And she goes, "Let me speak to Joab." And Joab says, "Yes." She goes, "This is a city renowned for its wisdom. And when there was disputes in the past, people would come here and they say, let's go to Abel and settle this. And we would settle those things. Let's settle this. Joab, what do you need?" And he goes, "Sheba's causing trouble." She says, "Wait right here." And a few minutes later, Sheba's head comes over. The city is saved. And it's almost a little bit of a flip of what the proverb actually says. It's not a city of the mighty, but there's a city that's not as mighty. And there's a great mighty army surrounding it. And what prevented that city from being destroyed? Words of wisdom. A calm head and somebody prevailing and using their head on what would be best for their city. And we can use the same thing. If we use a calm head, we think ahead of what will happen with the actions that we pursue. And we can avoid situations where we would be at a distinct disadvantage, whether it be a financial situation or a physical altercation, something like that. We need to make sure we're using wisdom to keep ourselves out of trouble and keep ourselves from getting into situations with folks that we would know would be too powerful for us, whether it be physically or financially or otherwise. So wisdom can do that for us, and we need to take advantage of that. Comments or questions on that aspect of how wisdom can make us successful? Okay. That doesn't happen all by itself, though. If we want to be successful in wisdom, we can't just say, I'm going to be wise, and it's automatically going to happen. We have to work at it. And in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. And we'll talk about hastiness or moving quickly or thinking quickly here in a little bit and what how that often leads us into traps. But focusing now on the idea of diligent preparation. If we're going to use wisdom, we've got to work hard at it if we want it to be beneficial to us. Because in the end, we're building a life for ourselves while we're here. Look at these here in chapter 14 and also in chapter 24. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And similarly, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. How can a wise woman build her house? We're not. But really, if you look in the proverb there in chapter 24, in some sense, we are talking about building a physical house. The decisions we make, the way we live, the prosperity that we gain because of that, as we've already talked about, will help us build a nice house, a nice things, and nice a nice lifestyle that we have. But we're talking about more than that. We're talking about family. We're talking about relationships, things that bring true wealth to someone. How can a wise woman build her house? What are the things that she can do that's going to make her house, her household, a strong one? Okay? And in particular what Sam said, if you didn't hear it there, is building those relationships with families, with husbands, with her husband, with her family, with her neighbors, and building those network there that's going to make her life successful, which leads naturally to how can a foolish woman tear it down? What are the things that she can do that will destroy those efforts or hinder those efforts instead of help them? And this, I know it says here foolish woman, but a foolish person. How could a foolish person do things that would damage their house? Worrying only about herself, right? Somebody whose thoughts are only on what's going to be best for me and not what's best for the family as well. All right. So if we practice wisdom, generally speaking, we're going to have a pretty successful life. And that may involve financial success. It's definitely going to involve success with the people that are like-minded with us as well. Comments or questions on having a successful life? Yeah. Yeah, so acting contentiously, acting foolishly, putting themselves in jeopardy are the items that Sam has mentioned there. And that really goes back to what he first mentioned there, putting yourself first, thinking of yourself and not thinking of other people as well. All right. Another way that wisdom brings a blessing to us is that of perspective. And there's a couple different ways we can look at that as well. But in general, that of just having a bigger picture on life than somebody who's not using wisdom, particularly godly wisdom, might have. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24, it says, wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools, a man who wanders away from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Look back at that first one there. What does that mean? The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. And I'll tell you this, just personally, this is one as a younger man this was tough for me. What does it mean that the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth? Yeah, the grass is always greener out there somewhere. There's always an adventure to be had out. That was what it was with me. Is there was always some adventure out there, some lifestyle out there to live, and I'm wasting time not doing that. I'm not taking care of the things that I need to take care of here because I'm planning and not really planning, more daydreaming about what's laying out there for me. And that's what the fool does. He looks out there and he says, wouldn't it be great to be a firefighting skydiver in the Swiss Alps somewhere? You know, that would be a really cool job and I'd like to do that. You know, that's not it. That's not anything that's going to bring true fulfillment to a life. So the fool is always out there looking at the ends of the earth, but the wise man is that he's the one that has understanding. He knows what his purpose is in life, and he's going to do his best to fulfill that purpose. And often the fool uses deceit to accomplish his purpose, and in the end, he's not only deceiving those around him, he's deceiving himself. He's thinking of what he can do, and he thinks he's getting away with it, but he's not. He's tricking himself instead. And so it gives us a perspective on life, on not putting our roots down here, on looking beyond this life, what God has in store for us, and how we can achieve that and do the things that He wants us to do. So don't have that pilgrim mentality that we often have, if we're not careful, but that we should have and we don't have. We put roots instead. That last one there is definitely one of perspective. A man who wanders away from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly. A man who has understanding recognizes that this life is temporary, this life will be over at some point, and he makes preparation for it. The man who does not have understanding, he just looks for the here and now, what will satisfy me here. In the end, he's going to rest in the assembly of the dead. To have that perspective, we need to make sure that we have deliberate decision-making when we go about thinking and acting. In Proverbs chapter 19:2, it says, also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Plans are established by counsel, and by wise counsel wage war. There's a real danger for us when we don't think before we act, and when we don't take the advice of those other wise people around us before we act. And it often leads to sin or a mistake or a consequence that we didn't intend it to lead to. So we need to be careful that we don't think too quickly and that we don't act too quickly. A passage that came to mind there are the story in Matthew chapter 25 of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise ones and the 5 foolish ones. They made no preparation and they didn't think what would happen if I go to make that preparation now. When I come back, that opportunity would be gone from me. So they made a hasty decision by not planning to begin with. And then they made a hasty decision, and it cost them entrance into the feast because they weren't prepared. And so they didn't act as they should have acted. And also to recognize the wisdom of wise counsel, not to take all the tough decisions on all by ourselves, but to ask those people that around us that we know to be wise, and to take their advice, to learn from the experience that they have given to us. Very similar to this. Decision making is, it leads us to falling into traps if we act hastily. And Proverbs chapter 14 says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his footsteps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Proverbs 27, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So in that last one. So as we're going about using wisdom or not using wisdom, we need to make sure that we're looking for these traps, thinking about what the consequences of our actions could be, using critical thinking. And as Christians in particular, we need to make sure that we're aware of that. I thought of Acts chapter 20. Are we wise to the warnings of that people give us of trouble that may come, as Paul spoke to the elders there, the Ephesian elders there at Miletus? Are we wise enough to look down the road to see what trouble might crop up and to prepare for it? Or in Galatians chapter 1, when he says, you foolish Galatians, you've been tricked. And we need to make sure that we are not the ones that are being tricked in how we behave. So how do we counter that? I mean, how do we avoid thinking and acting hastily? Not act on impulse, all right? What preparation can we make that will keep us from acting on impulse? Strive for wisdom and prepare ahead of time, right? Make those decisions ahead of time when we get into a particular situation. This is how we plan to act. To be firm on the principles that we have learned through wisdom and through God's word, and hold fast to those. Right. Yeah.
And so,
any other comments on the perspective that a man should keep? Well said. Any other comments on the idea of perspective? All right. Quickly, one more little item to talk about is wisdom. In fact, one of the blessings of wisdom that we read about in the Proverbs is that we get more wisdom. It's something that gives more. We talked about that wellspring earlier. You can go back to it again and again, and you can make use of it. In Proverbs 14:6, it says, "A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands." So if you got somebody who's already using wisdom, when a new bit of wisdom comes along, he grasps onto it, he analyzes it, he thinks about it critically, and he makes application to himself. The scoffer, he sees something, he goes, "I've got no use for that. That doesn't give me what I want." And he goes on, just as foolish as he was before. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool is." They're looking for two very different sources. "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good." It's going to help him by doing that. I thought about the parables that Jesus teaches, and in Matthew chapter 13, around verse 10 or so like that, he says, why do you teach in parables? And the idea is, those that want to learn from it, those that have that knowledge, they're going to take more from it, they're going to get smarter from it, but those that are going to scoff at it, it's just going to look like complete foolishness to them. And they'll get no benefit out of it. So I thought of that when I thought about those that are wise getting more wisdom and those that are scoffing or not seeking wisdom. All right, one last slide here before our time is away from us is, again, we touched on it a little bit earlier in the idea of success, is it takes work. It doesn't come all by itself. You have to be diligent at it. And so look at these last four Proverbs here before we close. In chapter 20 and verse 5, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Sometimes there's a wise man there, and he has something to tell us. It's like in chapter 1, he has dark sayings, and we don't know what it means. We got to work at it. We got to go back to it again and again. We have to be patient. We have to think about it. We have to talk to him about it before we draw that out of what he's trying to tell us. We'll read these other three, and then we'll be done. "There's a desirable treasure, oil in the dwelling of the wise. A foolish man squanders it." Desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, the same thing. Oh, that's actually the same thing. A bad copy. Sorry about that. 20 and verse 15. "There's gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of the knowledge are a precious jewel." How should we regard wisdom is the point here. How should we look at it? It's something that's precious, something that's valuable to us. And if we have that attitude about us, we're going to make use of it. Whereas the scoffer, he throws it away. He doesn't make use of it. Any final comments or questions on this? We'll finish up the idea of wisdom as it kind of rolls into reproof and instruction, and we'll finish that on Sunday, Lord willing. Mm-hmm.